I got some bourbon in my Fellowship of the Ring Burger King special edition glass, so I'm good.
You be classy.
Yeah, I be glassy.
Oh! Nah.
To the Exploding Barrel Podcast on this late February 15th day, 2018. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother Edge Guy.
Hello.
How's it going, Edge Guy?
Good.
That's good, Edge Guy. But,
we haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah, well, gosh, we've been on vacation and stuff, and, yep, we were at Disney World for a week. We're going to talk about that. Talk about our trip, some of our highlights, the new things we tried, favorite restaurants and experiences, and a little bit about what we've been playing. What do you want to just get into Disney then?
Yeah, go chronological to our trip, I guess.
Well, yeah, just go kind of park by park, I guess. We got there pretty early. The first time we went right to Magic Kingdom. I was surprised how crowded it was.
It was packed for the first week in February, which, I mean, February, aside from President's Day weekend, is usually a pretty quiet time. Yeah, but
there are no seasons anymore.
The only thing is, it's like the park hours haven't changed to reflect that. Yeah. So like, it's just as crowded as any other time, but everything closes at 8 o'clock.
It didn't bother me too much because I'd be so tired.
It kind of like forced us to take it easier.
Yeah, it's like, all right, well, fireworks have happened. Let's get out of here now. But, I mean, there wasn't anything too crazy new that we did in the Magic Kingdom.
We did mobile ordering at Pecos Bill.
That was nice. Pecos Bill was like a third-grade cafeteria, though. Yeah.
Good, though. Man, I had some good tacos. I was surprised how much I liked this.
We actually went there because we usually start – we're a long time we used to start going to the right. We'd start with Tomorrowland. So we usually would get lunch like
– Starlight Rays.
Starlight Rays. So I never had lunch at like Pecos Bill, really. At least not in a while. So
yeah, it was good. I liked it.
It was exciting. But I mean, you know, we did all the standbys. The kind of sad thing was for me that Space Mountain gave me like this awful headache for like the third time in a row. And I'm like, all right, maybe I just can't do Space Mountain anymore. I don't know.
We did do a cool thing where when it was time for our Space Mountain Fast Passes, the ride was actually shut down. And you know it's crowded when there's an actual line for the people mover.
Yeah, I bet Space Mountain being closed down maybe had something to do with that too.
But the cool thing is, it moved quickly because it's the people mover. So we rode it, and it was cool because it goes through Space Mountain, and all the work lights are on. So we like got to actually see Space Mountain's track, like just kind of lit up and exposed. And it's funny. It's a phenomenal ride.
Yeah.
But when you see it like that, it just looks like this crappy steel coaster.
Really, yeah, it's not
that would be
much
like at a cheap amusement park.
Right.
It's kind of funny.
We did see the new fireworks, though.
Yes, they were spectacular.
They were really cool.
I guess my only complaint would be it's a combination of fireworks and projections. The fireworks were like in the background because I was watching the castle more than anything. It's almost too much, but it's incredible.
I went to Disneyland Paris a couple years ago. They already had a show that was like this, and this show took a lot of cues from it. Even had a Hunchback Notre Dame segment that I was very excited about, and the Friend Like Me segment was very similar to the one in Disneyland Paris. But yeah, it is really cool. But it is at this point where like I'm almost more interested in the projection stuff because the stuff they do with that is just really
so incredible. I mean, the way they paint the castle with light, it's so vibrant. Like the when you see the promo images for the castle and in the show, it's always that like red color that shows up in the show, and it looks like the castle's just red now. Mm-hmm. Like it's really incredible.
I'm glad they had a little Moana segment. I will say it is strange how like some of the hits from recently, like you don't see a whole lot of just in the parks in general, like you don't see very much Zootopia yet.
It's like no Zootopia. Was that even in the show?
No, you don't see, not that I saw, you don't see very much Inside Out, Giant Hit. You don't really see that anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe there's plans. You don't see a whole lot of Wreck-It Ralph, though, and there's like a sequel coming out this year.
Penelope was in the show for a second.
A little bit,
You were right, though. Spoilers for fireworks. There was a section where like it's like the castle gets like blown up or something happened, and you like leaned in to be, and you just went, I can fix it. And I was like, I just explode if that happened.
I wish.
Because it was like the intense dramatic moment of the show. Like, if that was how they got out of it, would Fix It Felix and 8-Bit hop around the castle fix it? Oh, my God. That would have been incredible.
Yeah. So, that was a fun day. Well, let's just say food is the second thing at the end. But
you want to save the food for the end?
Yeah, we'll just do this early. And then next day was the Epcot day.
Oh, Epcot's
which is my favorite day. It's my favorite day.
Good.
It's funny because Epcot was my favorite park when I was a kid because I just liked all the future world stuff.
Well, because you could do everything there.
I used to just be nothing but like slow rides and look at these things. I loved that. And like the rides are actually still pretty good now. Like Soarin' is a lot.
Yeah, that was my first time doing Soarin' in Florida. So I got to see the Epcot ending. It's so good.
I actually do like Test Track a bit. We did the new Mission Space Green version.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's fine. It's funny because like so the plot of it is you do a low orbit Earth travel. So you're just going in a straight line. Like they do as much as they can to make that interesting, but there's not like any side to side really.
Right. I mean, I guess I applaud for doing something. I mean, it's not something I would do again unless like I could get on there pretty quick.
Yeah, I did do the because they revamped the orange. So basically, they Gary Sinise is no longer in the attraction. It's funny, they recast it. It's not like a known actress, but it's the same script.
Yeah, it is kind of
and,
funny.
In the orange version, they redid the CG, so it doesn't look like Quake 3 anymore. It actually looks very realistic, so I mean, that's fine. But yeah, you guys are wimps.
I did it once.
Me and God. The 6-year-old girl and her abuela had a very fun time on the ride.
Well, I'm very happy for you. I can never do that thing again. Oh, my goodness.
I'll never forget that moment. But I actually thought you were going to puke on the ride. I got kind of scared. Gonna
pass out. It was awful. Yeah, so no. This is space. I can do the green. It's fine. It's, I mean, I'll tell you what, they're lucky they have buttons in there because I kind of just amuse, especially when you're waiting.
Yeah.
It's like I flip the things and amuse myself with it. I still think there's so much more potential for like the space themed ride. Mm-hmm. And I understand like why that concept seemed really appealing when they were developing it.
Yeah.
It clearly isn't like, it's not a big hit. It's like,
I forgot to tell you guys, this funny aside, as I was getting on when I did the orange, this is the first time I've ever seen a cast member yell at kids.
Oh.
There's like this group of like 12 kids and they had like a chaperone with them who, she was worthless. Like they're just making noise, pushing each other around and like, he like yelled at them. It was like, I will not tolerate this behavior. I was like, whoa, cast member.
I like
it. It was like some like 23-year-old kid, but still it was like pretty funny.
I like it. Way a lot.
And they listened too. I'll tell you what, it worked.
Right. But then we started moseying over into World Showcase, and it was the Festival of the Arts, which is kind of like their attempt to do like a third festival thing that'll kind of catch. And it's nice. Like, there's a lot of like booths around where people are selling artwork.
The most interesting thing I saw was they had artwork created by Paige O'Hara, the voice of Belle. Like, she paints and, like, had these, like, paintings of Belle that you could buy.
I was like, wait.
That, is that actually her? Like, the cast member there's like, oh, yeah, she paints. I was like, huh.
That's neat.
Wish I had $150 to blow right now. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we started started in Mexico, made our way around. And that's really just, like, my favorite thing in Epcot and Disney, really. Just, like, walking around, looking at, because all these countries are so cool looking.
So intricate, just wonderful.
So neat. And it's just like, you just wander around these little shops and little food things. You grab a little bite here, you grab a beer here, you're just feeling good, you're having fun.
So, first of all, what do you think of, this is the first time you've ever done Reflections of China,
yeah,
isn't it? It's great, I love that film.
I tell you what impressed me was the lobby.
Yeah,
beautiful. It's the foyer, kind of
the recreation of that. I forget the name of the temple now. And they have a cool exhibit about Shanghai Disneyland too. That was cool to check out.
It's funny. Yeah, that's been there. And
opening day.
Well, right? We did it because I thought that the updated version was out yet, and it's not. But it still worked out because I got to see the original.
Yeah.
But it is funny because it is like
the '80s.
Yeah.
You know, China, a land of technology and industry, it's and like, it's like, you know, 1980s IBMs.
I know.
It's pretty good.
But it was fun because it was neat doing that. It felt kind of nostalgic Epcot, even though I'd never done it before.
Yeah, it does have that old 80s right. Epcot feel to it.
So. And I haven't done a Circle Vision since Timekeeper closed.
Right.
So it was
right.
Like, oh, neat.
Yeah.
Circle Vision's still here.
I'll tell you what, Circle Vision's pretty good.
It's neat.
Like, there's a few scenes that where, like, the camera starts moving and, like, what I found amusing too is the three of us, we're like just standing, just like spinning around 360, looking at everything. Everyone else in that theater is just facing straight ahead. It's like, guys, it's all around you.
You can kind of see
Circle Vision.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, that people just don't quite get it.
Right? Like that's why they have us standing and not in seats. You got to move around.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Like, there's those people behind us. Like their kids are just like in our aisle. I'm like, go back by your parents. Leave me alone. I'm trying to immerse myself in China.
I will say it is funny how I do enjoy World Showcase because there aren't quite as many kids.
Yeah.
It's a little. I mean, kids are fine. You know, obviously, they have a right to be in Disney World.
Yes,
but,
yes, of course.
But it is also fun when they're.
And I am here to declare my definitive favorite pavilion, Michael. Oh. And you helped seal the deal on it.
Oh, I know.
And that is Japan.
Yeah.
Japan is the best place.
It's so beautiful.
Because, I mean, we didn't go there this time, but the restaurant, Teppanyaki, even though we later in life learned, like, hibachi is, in fact, here in Youngstown.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. It's not that big a deal. But it was cool as kids. But it's still great. You know, it's better than what we have in Youngstown. Yeah. The department store is just so fun.
Oh, it's the best shop.
Especially, I mean, if you listen to the show and have any affinity for anything Japanese related, it's fun to go in there.
Between
all the Pokemon and then the Miyazaki stuff.
The Ghibli stuff there is incredible. I love it.
They have, you know, the Japanese candies, right, you can buy.
I'll tell you what, like, if I had a daughter, like, I saw some, like, little girls walking around, those Komodos you can get there. I thought that was, like, the cutest thing.
I was tempted to buy some for the kids and maybe in May.
But that's so adorable. But that's such a fun shop. Like, there's a little Komodo section. There's, like, the little, like, tea section. There's the area with the pearls, you know?
And I got Jessica that water brush thing, she loves it. Yeah, she has it all set up and has been using it. It's great. And then,
candy section, too. The candy. They put the candy
I know. They put it inside because they put a drink thing outside, which, oh man, what was that cocktail I had? It was called like a Tokyo Sunrise. Oh my god, it was good. It was like a coconut rum thing.
We didn't get the famous China drink though, the dippy ducks in love.
Real quick, I know we're not talking food yet, but we did do they had a thing for the Festival of the Arts where you can get sake in a traditional wooden drinking box, cool. And they wrote our names in kanji on the side of these boxes. And it turns out I don't like sake all that much. And they gave you a shitload of sake.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Oh, I in the moment, yes. I was like, yeah, I'm drinking this, but I don't think I'd do it again. But it was like a neat thing.
It was,
like,
and it was cheap for what it was.
$10 for like two ladlefuls of sake.
You got to keep the box that was personalized with your name on it.
Yeah, that was really cool. Plus, I really liked that.
Chris took a sip of his and didn't want anymore.
So I was just divvied it up.
I got some sake.
Yeah, I was feeling pretty good that whole day. But that night, you had found this when you were there before, and you made us go out there. That's when
you from there last time I was there.
That's when I had the Tokyo or the sunrise or sunset drink, whatever it was. And so it's like there's this little path that goes to the right of the temple where they do the Taito drum show.
But you got to see a little bit of always fun.
And it's like there's a noodle shop up there. I had no idea that was even there. It's like a quick service Japanese food, you know, noodles and teriyaki chicken. But there's this beautiful garden with tables, and like it was a little cool out. They had like those gas heat lamps out, and like it, for whatever reason, the way the sight lines in that work, when you sat in that garden, the only things you can see are the Japan Pavilion. You have no indication you were in Epcot.
I think it's my favorite nighttime spot in all of Disney World.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Oh my god, it was just so serene.
I know.
It was nice. It was secluded.
I just kind of wandered there. Because last time I was there with Chris, Krista, and Abby. And Abby was like one. So they took her back early. I was just kind of wandering around with some beers. And I found my way there. I was like, what is this?
It's such a great spot.
That's what, like, World Showcase is just so full of, like, these kind of weird little winding, like, little nooks
and crannies. Yeah, you gotta find these little pathways and stuff.
And it's just, I just love just walking around and exploring.
And again, I mean, obviously, this isn't, like, a ride. But you get this question all the time, sure, too. Like, when people find out you've been to Disney, what you have, like, why do you keep going back? Isn't it boring? But, like, you find stuff this that makes it totally worth the going. Like, it's so wonderful.
Yeah, I think Japan's my favorite pavilion too. It's so beautiful. And it's so neat.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Germany pretty good too, though.
Germany pretty good. Yeah. That caramel shop. Oh my god,
it's so nice.
I had that chocolate caramel dip s'more.
Secret's a little out on it. You are gonna have to wait in a line. But
yeah, I feel like that is like one bummer about a lot of the places that like we used to know about, or like it's like a lot of these things, the secret's out. Like it's just, they all have lines now.
Yeah. But oh well, I mean, everyone can enjoy
fucking internet.
But yeah, probably my favorite beer of the day was the Dunkel from
that was
Germany.
Good. That was good.
That was nice.
I had the Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm. But just wondering, we got to see some French people on the stairs with a giant glass, with the chairs, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I had that Grand Marnier slush. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was too full to go to the patisserie in France, though.
Yeah, we totally skipped it. Mm-hmm. That's a bummer. Next time.
It was nice because it was a little cooler that day. And so as we were wandering around, the crowds died down a bit. So
yeah, by the time it was time for Illuminations, it was almost empty.
Yeah.
So we were in China at the time, so we all grabbed a drink. Chris got some tea. I had a nice Chinese beer, and we just walked up to a spot and had a perfect view of Illuminations.
Yeah, it was really nice. Oh, another cool thing was for Festival of the Arts, they had a couple of, like, people from Disney Broadway shows.
Yeah.
It was a guy who has been Mufasa for like
4,000 performances or something.
And then it was the girl who was like Nala in the Las Vegas version. And they were singing songs from like
all Disney Broadway. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like a 30-minute show. It was just these two going back and forth singing songs. And it was in that pavilion right across from American Adventure. We didn't weigh anything. We just, you know, walked over, got some seats in the back. It was lovely. It's very nice.
Yeah, it was great. It was absolutely great.
The only bummer was American Adventure was closed for refurbishment.
Yeah, and it's reopening now, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah, they have a new. They've redone the ending a little bit. They've changed that montage before. Yeah. Probably getting rid of Lance Armstrong. One other funny thing was we did that Mexican boat ride.
It broke down.
And like the boats, like the jets weren't pushing the boats anymore.
So we just coasted slowly to a stop.
And it's like, because we were always moving a little bit. It was just getting less and less.
And we never came to a full stop.
Well, they kept saying, wait till a cast member comes to assist you. We're like, oh no.
Like, yeah, we have to wade through the water.
Well,
like
I was looking around. There's nowhere to jump off or anything.
Right?
But it worked out. They fixed it. We got a nice long view of the animatronics.
Yeah, that's why we wrote it. We wanted to see those animatronics at the end.
But, man, yeah, Epcot Day is just it's so much
fun. Good.
So, next was our Universal Day.
Simulator Land.
It really is.
I mean, I like Universal, and obviously the Harry Potter stuff is world class, really good. But damn, if every ride there isn't a simulator, except for the two roller coasters.
I can
coasters.
Only say, like, I like it too, and I had fun. I can only stay for half a day. I didn't even do Spider-Man, which, you know, was one of my favorite rides.
Yeah.
Because I just kind of had enough. Right. Like, I was getting queasy.
So let's start. We started off at Diagon Alley. You'd never been.
Never been there.
So just walking in, what was your first impression?
Incredible.
It's an amazing sight line.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's great. Way more so than Hogsmeade even. You have no visible like sight of anything. Even like when you're in Hogsmeade, you can kind of see the back of the show building for the Hogwarts castle.
Yeah.
You can see some of the other lands. You just are in Diagon Alley.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It's really cool. And I like how... like there is that Nocturne Alley area you can go to, and it feels like this
there's an area off to the right where you're like under the bridge that the train's on. It's like really empty over there. It's kind of nice.
There are just these nook cranes, but it is so cool. All of these different shops.
Now, and you enjoyed the ride. So here's what I did. I wasn't sure if you could handle it or not.
Oh no, you asked.
I thought you could, but there was also a chance that you were gonna like be traumatized for life.
I was freaked out for whatever. Like,
it's the first time you've done it. It is. I mean, it is functionally speaking a roller coaster.
I get scared when I do some of these things for the first time. If I know it's a roller coaster, and I just don't know what to expect. But so I was really nervous getting on the Gringotts, but the line was super cool. It also reminded me of that Star Trek ride they used to
do.
Because like for a bit you're in an elevator, there's a little bit that happens there, and then you're in, you know, there's like sections to the line. But the ride was really cool actually. The roller coaster parts weren't too bad at all. It got me a little, but the last one got me because I felt like we weren't like looking straight ahead when we were going through it or something.
You spin at one point as you go through. Yeah.
But it was pretty fun. Then we took the train over. The train was really nice.
Train's cool.
It's cool.
The best part about it is going through the column into the 9 3/4.
That is a neat effect.
Isn't that great? Isn't that really great?
Such a great effect.
On the guy who figured that out.
That kills me. And I saw that. I was like, oh, that's actually maybe my favorite thing of that whole land was that 9 3/4.
The fact that they pulled that off is really cool.
And then I remember we were walking towards it and like the guy working there like, all right, your platform's right between like platforms 9 and 10. I'm like, you could say it's 3/4 between them. so that was really neat. Then we got the Hogsmeade. We did a Forbidden Journey, which I love.
Made you sick.
I for like an hour after that, I was like a dog. I was sick. And I thought it wouldn't be as bad anymore because they don't do the 3D glasses there like they did in Hollywood. They don't anymore.
They know they're there,
But again, I was just like, ugh. So at that point, you guys kind of did some of your things and...
No. We did King Kong after that.
I forgot about King Kong.
Which is cool. Again, it's screens.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely a Universal ride, right?
Right.
The coolest things about it were just the size of the vehicle.
Yeah, the fact that it's like huge. Drives itself.
Right, the vehicle's huge. And like that little... It's really neat how it goes outdoor and like the giant doors open. You go into the temple. And then at that point, it basically, it's actually very much like the tram tour thing.
In Hollywood.
Right. It's the same kind of thing, like the big wraparound 3D screen. The Fast and Furious thing is like that, too. And again, that's going in there, too. So another ride like that. Yeah. Again, like everything Universal is becoming kind of like that.
Yeah, well, because so we left. Well, Chris and I did Dudley Do Right, which I kind of regretted. We got just soaked.
I don't know what you thought was going to happen.
I knew I was going to get wet, and I thought I'd be okay. I forgot. See, I was wearing jeans. If I wasn't wearing jeans, it would have been fine.
I would have just not done it for the sock factor alone.
I took my socks off. That was fine. Yeah, I mean, it's a fun ride. It wasn't a good day to get wet. It was a little cool out.
It was cool.
But then Hulk, they redid the Hulk. They rebuilt it piece by piece, and then they completely changed the story. It used to be like it was this weird thing where Bruce Banner thought he figured out how to reverse the Hulk thing, and you were going to go through it though. But like he was talking you through it, and it had this really great moment where when you're launched out the tube, where he was like talking to you, he was like, I think it's going to work this time. Then the computer's like, warning, error. And he's like, no. And you've launched your, now it's you are undergoing the gamma treatment, same as Bruce Banner, because they think they figured it out.
For sure.
It's going to make you a super soldier, Mike.
Yeah.
We kind of rushed through the line so we can get to see the whole story of it quite. But there is a great effect even when you're outside now. As the coaster car shoots out the tunnel at the top, you hear like the Hulk do like the roar. Yeah. Like that's cool. Interesting now, that ride, similar to Rip Ride Rocket, not only do they like make you take your like everything out of your pockets, like no phones, keys, wallet, none of it. You have to go through a metal detector to prove you don't have anything in your pockets, which tells me something happened, you know, and someone got hurt. But it's funny because, like, I mean, like, we had the express pass, so we were skipping all the lines, but it had like an hour wait. And Chris and I are looking at this line of people, and we're thinking, none of these people have phones.
Yeah.
What are they
that
doing?
That would be kind of rough.
What are they doing? They have to talk to each other. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we left there. We had lunch at Twosome's Chocolate.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll save that for the food talk. But you clocked out after that.
Well, no. I went into...
We did the late show Jimmy Fallon ride, which I am here to tell you is bad.
Yeah, I don't know if it's bad. It's not much.
I think it's bad.
It's not much.
The best part about it is the late show museum at the entrance.
I like, well, its whole kind of weird... Next gen lobby thing is pretty interesting. Like you basically
there is no line. Yeah, you like have to get like it's basically like only fast passes.
And then you kind of go through a sequence of lobbies, and the first one has a museum and has a little display on each of the hosts. And like I really got into late night history at one point in my life, so it was really neat for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was in college, I was reading The Late Shift and those books, and then like that Conan O'Brien drama happened right after that. And after that was kind of when I checked out a bit.
Well, yeah.
But, it was really neat. I don't watch Late Night that much anymore. I don't know about Jimmy Fallon's weird characters, like some girl who says ew a lot.
Yeah, like they way over-relied on that character, and I was like, this is not funny.
No one else did think it was
funny. The whole premise of the ride, the storytelling is very jumbled.
Like, well, yeah.
I mean...
You go to the moon.
Yeah, I know. But, like... They make no effort to explain. Like the premise is Jimmy Fallon's gonna race the audience. Okay, hang on, I have questions. Like why? How is the audience moving? Why does Jimmy Fallon have a magic flying car?
Like all that's whatever. My big thing is like, oh, it's another simulator.
It's another simulator.
And like this one's literally a simulator.
For some reason, during the course of the ride, like I don't know if like everything's like was sped up, but Jimmy Fallon didn't sound like Jimmy Fallon. His voice was too high pitched, and he was also kind of a dick the whole ride.
Well, he wanted to win, you know.
Yeah, he was a dick. About it.
The Roots are great.
I love everyone loves the Roots.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just why is it there?
It's not
it
much.
Just feels
brain so. Back twister.
I want that version where it was like the like weird Jimmy Fallon tried to take over the Twister
that
attraction. Would that would have been great.
That was the original.
That would have been original.
Would have been funny.
You know? I just thought it was boring. Chris and I did Rip Ride Rocket. That's a great roller coaster. It's funny because you have this huge list of songs you could pick from to play as you ride it. I just do Better, Faster, Harder, Stronger every time
because
it's the perfect song. We did the Mummy. We did Transformers. I like Transformers actually quite a bit. We went back to Islands and we did King Kong again. Yes. And then Spider-Man was closed when we went by it earlier and it was open again. So we rode that. Actually, this is cool. I think I told you this. Yeah. So as we're going through the line, when you're in the Express Pass line, you go through Peter Parker's office and then into the dark room. And then you come back out like into the line. And as we're going through Peter Parker's office, like standing like just like in the corner looking at the wall is Spider-Man. Like on the other side of like the barrier and I was supposed to cross. Like Chris like walked right by. And you see, I go, Chris, look. He turns around. He goes, hey, what's up, brother? I was like, nothing, Spidey. How's it going? He goes, oh, you know, man, just chilling. It's like, I give him like a bro five, like five and a hug. And I'm like, all right, man. Well, hey, hopefully nothing wacky happens today. He's like, yeah, man, right on. And he like leapt over the bar and like ran off.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
It is funny. Like that Spider-Man ride, at the time I did it, I think the only thing that like at the time was like as impressive was like the first time I did Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. But that Spider-Man ride in like what, 1998?
Like, 99.
Yeah. That thing was insane. And now every ride there is like,
yeah, it's still the best one. A bummer though, the exploding pumpkin effect was not working, which is a good effect.
It is just a soup. And that line itself is actually,
really, it's cool. A great ride. Great.
It
ride.
Is super fun. I'm a little bummed they didn't get to do it this time, but you know, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
That ride's not going anywhere.
So yeah, we call it.
I went back to the room and I just took it.
Yeah. You guys.
Oh, took it was hardcore, nice. Man.
We got back and you and Dad are both asleep.
I fell asleep immediately. It's nice not to share the bed with you for a change. I'll tell you what, if you're the last person to fall asleep in that room, with the four Minotti men, good luck.
It's a race to fall asleep. Because
there
first.
Was some snoring. Oh boy. And I know I was contributing too, but man, it was rough when you're last.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. Let's see. Sunday is Hollywood Studios Day.
Which, you know,
it's such a weird park.
The part of that park that's open.
Well, Chris and I went in the morning. We hit up the extra magic hours to do Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror, which a good thing we did because, like, you know, it's 8:30 and you get into line for Tower of Terror. It's a 15-minute wait. You walk on it. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get off the ride, it's 9:00 and the park is open. And all of a sudden, it's a 70-minute wait. You're like, oh, okay, good. Glad we did this.
But, yeah, we went back later. I went with you guys. We did
our Midway Mania.
Which is, you know, still fun.
Yep. We did Star Tours had the new scenes.
Yeah,
which was
nice.
Really rad.
Yes.
I liked those. The only problem was, like, everyone was being really loud in our ride, and I couldn't hear what Poe and Hux were saying.
We're into it.
I mean, no, I understand. I just need to turn up the volume, I think. Mm-hmm. I need to like look at a transcript so I can see what they said.
We got to go to Grand Avenue and...
Yeah, had the tap house, get a drink there. That was cool. They have like all California beers. It's neat.
Isn't it? You know, it's funny and sad. I think my favorite thing at that park right now is still Muppet Vision.
Oh, Muppet Vision is so good.
We did it. We got to see the whole pre-show.
We sat in the front so we could see the penguin animatronics.
Is this great? I love that show.
It's so good.
I think it's so
good.
Someday they're going to get rid of it. And I think
it's going to be the worst.
It'll be the most devastated I will ever be for a ride.
I agree. I completely agree with you. That is the one ride that will cut me to the quick.
That'll be like the one time where if I could, like, I might sneak a trip. To go do it one more time.
Yeah, like steal something from the attraction before you leave.
I love that Muppets movie. It is so funny.
It's so good.
But we sat down at Rizzo's at least too.
Yeah, we walked through and we had our beers there because there were no seats at the.
But at that point, pretty much done. Studios. We thought we would go to dinner, then come back and see the fireworks. But it was like. It was so fireworks are so far away at that point.
It was raining that day too.
It was raining. We're like, let's just go to Disney Springs and hang out. And Disney Springs has so much to do. We didn't have that much time for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to go there and get a lot of that done.
Do we go to Disney Springs at night?
What else did we do that night then? Must have, right? That was the night.
We went to Yachtsman Steakhouse and then I don't think we went to Disney Springs that night.
What else would we have done that night?
I can't.
We went to Disney Springs.
What did we do?
Because that was when PJ met us.
No, that was Saturday night.
This is Saturday night.
No, this is Sunday.
No.
Yeah, Saturday was Universal Homecoming, met PJ.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what we did.
Did we just call it early? I think we just called it early night.
I think you're right.
I think we realized we need, you know, because it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, we watched
that. Yeah, you stayed up and finished. I fell asleep in the third quarter.
Well, we'll talk about this. But we just spent, that earlier that day we were in Disney Springs.
Yeah.
And we went the day before. So,
we should talk about that.
In general. Yeah, one of the coolest things we did. Is that VR Star Wars thing they have in Disney Springs?
The Void.
It's called Secrets of the Empire. And it is really cool. They take four of you. They give you all like this setup where like you're wearing a backpack that's like the computer, and you have like a headset on attached to it. The backpack looks a lot like a proton pack from Ghostbusters because that was like the first thing they did.
And it's super comfortable. The way it like cinches to your body, you don't even realize you're wearing it. Right. Honestly,
and they have like an actual floor layout of all these rooms. And it corresponds to the virtual reality thing you're in. You're just walking around doing it. And like if there's a door, there's actually a door. There's a lever. If there's a chair, there's actually a chair there. Like I was worried I'd be sick just because it's VR and VR can make me sick. But since everything was like real, you know, It was super cool.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. Like, they have tracking stuff. Like, you know, it tracked your hands, your fingers.
Yeah, you could see your, like,
everything.
Oh, just a stormtrooper. It's funny, like, doing it with, like, friends.
Yeah, because like, the four, like, there were three really, truly incredible moments to me. First, in the very beginning, it's a good way of acclimating you to, like, the rules of this world. Is you're in your transport ship, and K2SO tells you, just take a seat. And you see these seats, and like you said, they're there. So you actually sit down. So it's like, oh, okay. I get this. When you get to Mustafar, which is where you're going, you get on like a floating platform that's going to take you in. And it's like, you know, this floating platform where visibly there's no rails, there's no handholds, and you're just over lava. And the four of us are like, oh God, we're going to fall and die. Like, you honestly feel that, you know, in the back of your head, like there's probably a wall here if I put my hand out or something, you know, but you know, you just go with it. And then you get to an armory, and there are you see the stormtrooper blasters, and you were standing there, and you're like grabbing this blaster and handing it to me, and I not even thinking about it, I just reach out to grab it, and there is a gun in my hand, and I'm like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. Just the, like, there's a section where you solve like a Simon puzzle.
I don't know if you want to give away the spoiler here.
I'll just say,
like, things have multiple solutions.
You have a blaster in your hand. But like, Chris is like solving this puzzle while we're like covering his back and shooting stormtroopers down a hallway. Like, it was really phenomenal.
It was immersive.
So fun.
Yeah.
If you're in Disney and you are all a Star Wars fan, Disneyland and Disney World both have it. You have to do
it's
this.
It's really neat. Yeah.
It's a must.
I think so. And I think it's a pretty good glimpse into the future of some of this stuff. I always thought VR and AR would have its best applications in kind of theme parky stuff.
Yeah. I would have paid untold sums of money if they would have just set up some GoPros around this facility.
Yeah.
We could like buy the video of us running through this,
because
that would have been amazing.
It would be pretty funny. It is kind of like, so Disney Quest has finally gone. It's demolished. It's sad to see.
It's just kind of
like the successor to
it
that.
It really is in a way. Yeah. Like yeah.
Like this could, in a different world, this could have been in Disney Quest.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's
so
funny.
Yeah. But yeah, Disney Springs is still funny. I'm still not used to how huge it is.
It's so nice. It's really, really nice now.
Yeah, but
it's weird. It's like I don't quite have my bearings on it yet. So it's weird to be in a place in Disney where I don't know it like the back of my hand.
Right. So it was fun. And then Sunday was Animal Kingdom Day. Monday was Animal Kingdom Day.
Animal Kingdom is so good.
This
right
is my
now.
Second favorite day of our trip.
Yeah,
after Epcot.
So
it's great.
We
got their opening.
We fast passed Flight of Passage so that we could get there at opening, extra magic hours, and do the river journey, which is the way to go, because very cool ride, but I would not wait more than half an hour for it.
No, and the line got to, like, you know, 90 minutes. I tell you what, it helped that maybe everyone was, like, kind of, like, downselling you on this ride. Everyone's like, oh, it's real short, it's not much, because I enjoyed it.
Oh, it's great.
That was fun.
The animatronic at the end is stunning.
Yeah, it's neat. It was pretty.
So that was your first time going to Pandora. Like, again, when you walk in there, like, what's your impression?
Oh,
it's
super neat.
It's stunning.
It's pretty similar, I think, to Diagon Alley Hype about that. It's very immersive. It's cool. And it's even more, it's almost more impressive how, like, you really do just feel like you're in that area. You can't see anything else because it just doesn't have, like, the giant buildings that block your eyesight like Diagon Alley does. It's just these trees and mountains everywhere. Like, you can't even see the Tree of Life from there.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand. Like, I thought, like, those floating islands would be like a background thing. Like, they're right in the center.
Yeah, you walk under them. Yeah.
That, it is so neat.
It's really cool.
It's a really cool land. The theming of that is super fun.
Yeah, we had a really good safari. Again, it was early morning, so animals were active.
Yeah, the lions were
moving.
I mean, the safari ride is so evergreen.
Yeah, it's always incredible, you know?
Yeah.
You guys saw Festival of the Lion King for the first time after my ranting and raving about it. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. If I didn't have to pee so bad during it, I might have enjoyed it a little bit more.
But it's like I said, I felt dumb for having not seen it sooner when I saw it on my honeymoon.
It's a neat thing.
It's
good. That's kind of the neat thing about having Avatar Land. Like, it really does complete that park to the point where, like,
we were open to close.
And it was like, you know, I was doing things that, like, before I'd be like, let's get out of this park. I'm like, oh no, let's go see Festival of Lion King. Let's go walk around the tracks and see the animals. And yeah, I never was bored the entire time we were there.
So
let's just talk about the
Flight of Passage. I'm going in order of our day. Yeah. So I don't know how much we want to spoil about the experience.
Yeah, because I think it is cool to go in a little.
It's less than a year old.
But it was super cool.
It might be my new favorite ride there.
Yeah,
like, honest to God, more than any theme park attraction, getting off of that feels more like it was an experience, if that
really
makes
was
sense.
Neat.
it's so immersive. And it's just...
Yeah, it's just some of the weird little things happening with, like, the little ride vehicle.
And it's funny, because it's... If you break down the components, it's really not doing anything all that groundbreaking.
No.
But it's a combination of two things. I mean, it's the thing, it's more than the sum of its parts. And all those parts are just executed on so well. I mean, okay, it's not a spoiler to say, like, it's a CG ride film. It's, you know, the World of Pandora. But it's, like, the best CG.
Yeah, it
like,
does it's, look really it is good.
Absolutely photorealistic in every sense of the word. Like, it's just stunning.
Yeah.
Really, really does a great job, like, taking you
it really to that does. World. You're super top tier.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the night, we got to go in again, and we went through, like, the regular line.
Which is a great line. Yeah, it's a great line.
It's almost like you're climbing up the mountain first, and we were doing it at night.
We were doing it at dusk, which is, like, the perfect time to be there.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, that place
is ridiculous at night.
Unbelievable.
You're going through all these different rooms. Like there's, like, the little cave room with, like, the cave drawings from the Na'vi, and then there's, like, you're in a little part of the forest. They'd go into, like, the lab of the humans. Like, it was a really interesting line. It helped that I had one of the green beers.
Yeah. Tasty brews.
Mm-hmm. We ate at a Santuli camp.
Yeah, I was going to save that again for the food section.
No, I mean, okay.
Let's not break our rules.
I guess.
Anyway, we rode Dinosaur, and I was very happy to see that ride's gotten some TLC. It's got a few enhancements to it.
It's got a line. I think it had to, like, put on its best suit now that Avatar's in town, I guess.
Yeah, but, like, they added, like, some projection effects to it.
It was getting a little old.
It's a great ride,
I think, though. It still could use a little work. They got to do something so you can, like, not have to watch that film anymore.
Yeah.
But
it's
a fun ride. I mean,
it's like the best ride that, like, no one appreciates, I feel like. I mean, it's... pretty good when you really break it down.
Yeah, it's a neat ride. It was fun. Again, like, it had a... It was a pretty decent line for that ride, as long as I waited in that for a while.
For a long time,
there's an outdoor line area I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, it's huge back there.
Yeah.
Like, who knew?
Well, when that park opened, I mean...
Like, what else were you doing?
It was that and Safari, right? Like, yeah. That was it.
Chris and I did Everest, and that ride's also... It's incredible. It's such a shame that Yeti still doesn't work.
We walked around and looked at the gorillas and that truck, and we saw the lions and the other one.
The tigers.
They're, you know, they're cats. But, man, yeah, just that entire day, man, we were always doing something. We did not do It's Tough to Be a Bug.
No, we did not do
it. We're going to do something else there at some point, I think.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
But I always knew it's such a beautiful park. They put so much attention to detail in every inch of it. And it's great now that you could finally... justify a whole day there. It's really nice.
And I love how kind of spread out that park is too. It's really neat how, like, you know, like when you're in Magic Kingdom, right? Like, every 2 feet is a new attraction or shop or something. Like,
it has room to breathe.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a really nice feeling. It's so crazy, like, being that Avatar section. I'm like, because, like, there's supposed to be something there when that park opened. It was going to be Beastly Kingdom. And I'm like, I'm finally standing here.
Yeah, right? Like, my feet are on this ground.
I'm like, they did it. Just need to you can stay there all night. And what, even walking out, seeing the Tree of Life all lit up.
Lit up,
yeah. We didn't do the night show because it was either do the Avatar ride again or go see the night show. And I was like, I kind of went through the Avatar.
We made our right choice, I think.
So. It was really
fun. Yeah, being in that line at night and doing the ride one more time, that was worth
so
it.
Fun. So, so I guess we can talk a little bit about our food.
Yes.
Let's just talk. I don't think we need to go through everything, but, like, what were your favorite meals?
Yachtsman Steakhouse, Chris and I shared the porterhouse for two.
That actually was pretty
cool. That is particularly the filet side of the porterhouse was possibly the best steak I've ever put in my mouth. It was really good. Ridiculously good. I liked how it was, like, kind of cut
for you.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was so good.
That was a pretty good meal. I was just so full. We had this string of three meals together that almost killed me. Because the night before that, we went to Art Smith's Homecoming and Disney Springs.
Which was the best fried chicken I've ever had in my life.
Really good.
Hands down.
But it was filling.
It was a heavy meal. It was a heavy meal. And then next morning we did brunch at California, which, see, I knowing the night before and what lie in store for the day, I told myself, okay, no bread at breakfast. Because the brunch there, it's a combination of a buffet of cold foods and then, like, entrees. And you could order as much as you want. You guys are going to, like, French toast and pancakes to share, and I'm like
sushi, and
I'm like, get me a hanger steak. I don't even want the eggs. Just give me a hanger steak with chimichurri sauce. I'm gonna go get some sushi, and that was my brunch, and it was phenomenal.
And I think he had the right of it, because I was like, for that whole like 36 hour period, I was in rough shape. He's
hurting.
Yeah. One of my favorites was Via Napoli.
Via Napoli was so good. We had, obviously, you get the pizza there, and we all shared a huge pizza, but someone had told us to try the lasagna. Mm-hmm. And so we got like just a plate of lasagna just to share, so we all try it. It was so good. Why is that lasagna so good?
It was just so nice.
What?
I know. I love that place. I got myself a flight of Italian beers. Mm-hmm. What, there was like an amber or something that was really like.
There's that dark, and oh yeah, I love that dark.
Really nice.
Yeah, it's really good.
So
that, and Chris and Dad didn't seem as enthused about it, but I really enjoyed Rose and Crown.
Yeah, I like
that fish and chips.
I'm just tired of them seating us outside all the
time. Yeah, I've never been inside.
I want to go inside the restaurant.
Right? I have no idea what it's really like in there.
Fish is really good. I got myself a black and tan. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Narcusi's is where we went the first night, and that remains my favorite restaurant in Disney World.
Especially aesthetically, it's a
wonderful building. I had the Surf and Turf, which was just
had turf,
disgustingly good. You had Surf.
Surf. I meant, yeah, I had the lobsters.
Yeah. I was pretty pleased with that. You had that almond cheesecake dessert too. Yeah, that's so
which
good.
Which is like my favorite dessert there. I wasn't doing dessert too much this trip because I was just getting so full. But I think my other favorite was Tiffin's.
Yeah.
I really liked Tiffin's.
You guys got that rigatoni with the bolognese.
It was a bolognese. And it was like this bolognese was spiced really nicely. Mm-hmm. Man, we had a bread. We got like the fancy bread there.
Yeah, the bread was great. Well, it's funny. So I was... They have like a ribeye on the menu. And I'm like, well, I mean, ribeye sounds good, but I had that steak at Yachtsman just the other night. There's a duck breast in the menu I was toying with getting. But then the waiter comes and he's explaining the menu and reveals that the ribeye is cooked sous vide. And I was like, well, I got to have that. And it was really, really damn good.
And it's neat in there, too. I like how
it's. So, yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant.
And
the lounge. Yes, the lounge. The lounge. Excellent.
Is one of maybe my favorite place in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous space. Their drink menu is fantastic.
Yeah, the Tempting Tigress, which doesn't sound like a very manly drink, but it's bourbon.
It's bourbon. It was good.
That is such a good drink.
Although I think the best drink I had in the whole trip was Saturday night when we met our friend PJ at Jock Lindsay's. What was that called? Like the Mayor's Reserve or something?
Yeah,
like it was a bourbon cocktail made with that Knob Creek Reserve. That's only at Jock Lindsay's and Tiffin's. And it was like our waiter was like, if you guys want my opinion, this is the best drink we have on the menu. Great. You and I were like, okay, well, it was sold. But yeah, it was incredible.
Jock Lindsay is such a great place.
Oh, that's one of the best bars. We had a great night at Trader Sam's.
We got Trader Sam's. We got ourselves a table. Had fun. We got some pot stickers.
Oh, those were good. Yeah. Those were good.
Even the first time we tried to go to Trader Sam's, and it was
45 minute wait. So we went outside, and
that's nice.
I love it out there. There's that waterfall. There was like a Hawaiian guy just like playing the guitar. He was really great. And only outside can you get the drink that's basically just a Dole Whip with rum. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, give me one of those.
But, so what is your favorite of those like drinking spots in the world?
And then the entire world.
The entire Disney World.
Yeah, I know.
That's my girl, good.
It's a very hard toss between Jock Lindsay's and the Tiffin's Lounge.
That Tiffin's Lounge,
what was it called? Nomad Lounge.
Yeah. Yes.
It was really nice.
And we were tired, like sitting down there, and they had like a couch table.
Nice comfy.
It's bigger in there than it is in Trader Sam's or Jock Lindsay's. I will say, I think Trader Sam's Disneyland has them all beat. That's just the best.
Oh, yeah. That's the
Trader Sam's in Disney World is really good. I don't want to be down on
it,
but it is.
It's just it's not laid out as well.
Yeah, I don't like that it's like a single bar.
Yeah.
The bar space isn't as big.
You can tell they're like, okay, where can we put a Trader Sam's here? We got this room. Mm-hmm. Let's cram it in. The one in Disneyland feels a little more purposeful, I guess, is the way I'd put it. Mm-hmm. Not to say that there's anything wrong. What did you think of Satouli Canteen?
It was neat. I was a little skeptical of it. The menu seemed a little weird. I was worried I was just getting chicken and rice. And I did get chicken and rice.
Yeah, but it's really good.
But I had some sauce. It was like basically a ranch, but it was good. It was really nice.
Yeah, I like
it. It was nice to get a sit down, like a quick service meal that wasn't a burger.
Yeah. And they have that blueberry cheesecake dessert that's so good. So good. Interesting. Yeah. It's not your thing because you don't like pineapple, but those pineapple lampias, the little egg roll things with pineapple cream cheese, those were so good. And that Moara margarita with the bubble balls. Yeah, it's the inside of Satouli Canteen is great.
It's funny because I was talking about this, the difference between Pandora and Diagon Alley or the Harry Potter, like the Harry Potter stuff, there's like 15 shops.
Yeah, just everything's
like
a store.
It's just the one shop in Avatar. Like, yeah. I guess it makes sense. It's a nice shop, you know, but yeah.
They got cool stuff in there.
We did go to what was that chocolate place?
So Toussaint's Chocolate Emporium. The easiest way to describe it is Cheesecake Factory, but like
more chocolate.
Yes, more chocolate. So
and more theme. Yeah.
So their big thing is these milkshakes.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
Just thinking about it makes me laugh. So Chris got the birthday cake cheese milkshake, which is, you know, like this milkshake in a mason jar that just has a piece of birthday cake on top of it. Like just there, like through the straw, like a skewer. So here's me. I'm looking at the menu and there's a peanut butter and jelly milkshake. I go, okay, that sounds good. So out comes this thing. They took the mason jar and like the way you would salt a margarita glass, they like dunk it in peanut butter and then put it into like crushed peanuts, fill it with this milkshake, put just a piece of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on top of it. Then the straw goes through a peanut butter and jelly cupcake skewered into the drink. And I'm like, they put it down in front of me. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, it's massive. There's like four things to this. I had the whole thing. It was incredible.
Yeah, they had the walk around character too.
Oh yeah, so Penelope, we missed the robot. There's a robot.
There's a robot.
Yeah, I'll show you. He's like a steampunk robot that Penny built. But oh, she was hysterical.
Just picking on me.
Well, what were you looking at in your phone?
I was just on Twitter.
She like comes up behind Mike, who's like on his phone, like she's like snuck up on us. I didn't even know she was a thing, and she like just comes up like right next to Mike's face, like, "What are you looking at?" And Mike's like, what year is it? Because, like, you wanted to play along. And she goes, it's 2018. Are you okay?
Yeah, like, you know, she's like an period character.
She's very posh British. It's like this whole, the whole place is like this steampunk vibe.
Well, she was like, acting like, oh, she doesn't know what a phone is because I'm supposed to be in the past.
Yes. And she just pick on you. And Chris and I, of course, we're just piling on.
That was good. It was funny.
Yeah, she was, I mean, she was like, as a character, like, especially like that performer that day was really good, I thought. Like, that was really fun. She had like this little notebook, like, she was writing in it the whole time. I'm like, I want to read that. What's in there?
But yeah, it was a neat place. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool place.
A really good burger. I liked it, yeah.
So, is there any other big meals that were even out? I think that
what did we have for? No, we did brunch that day. We didn't really have lunch at Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
all. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was good. We had our breakfast at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yeah, it wasn't for last.
Great breakfast, actually. Yeah, it was nice, really good. Place.
So yeah, Disney World was fun stuff.
Yeah, great trip. Great trip. Good times. We got it. Yeah, we accomplished a lot in 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about what we've been playing? I think we've probably been going on for a bit here.
Yeah, we're hitting 48 minutes. This is a record
for a while.
Monster Hunter World is so good. I love this game, Mike. It's fun. So fun.
Yeah, we got to all play it together.
It's exactly what I hoped would happen. Like, I've talked about it before. I played Monster Hunter 3 on the Wii. I liked it, but you're playing on the Wii. I got Monster Hunter 4 and 3DS. It was cool, but it just felt too cramped on the 3DS. Here's finally, you know, on the PS4 Pro with an actual controller with dual triggers and dual analog sticks and everything. Actual online play. It's everything I hoped it'd be and more. It is so satisfying to play.
Oh, yeah.
And what I find fascinating about it is, like, a lot of people I read about on the internet and podcasts I listen to, they'll talk about, they start the game, they're like, I can see why people like this, but it's just not clicking for me. I don't think I really like it. Then they switch to a different weapon, and, like, it all of a sudden falls into place for them.
What,
like,
weapon are you using?
I've gone with the Lance.
And yeah, that Lance game's pretty good.
Because that's what I used in 3 after I think only the Insect Glaive is new from 3. One of the guns might be new.
Yeah, I think one of them they added in 4, because there's 4.
But I think the Insect Glaive was added in 4.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I knew what I liked already for the most part, and it's just so, you know, like a hunt can take like 30, 40 minutes. Mm. Everyone kind of says it's like Dark Souls, but where it's not punishing. There's room for error in this game. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get one-shotted and game over and you lost 40 minutes of your time.
Sure.
I mean, you can die if you faint too many times or the time limit runs out, whatever. I think the better analogy is to call it a fighting game where you know, like the weapons are like your character in a way that you're picking.
It's like a fighting game meets Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, you're learning combos and learning tells from all these monsters. And so to compare the game to an MMO, what I like about it, one of my big complaints about a lot of MMOs like raids and dungeons is like, you don't just go into the raid blind. You're like, oh, we'll figure it out as we go, and it's going to be fun. Like, no, you read the guides and watch YouTube videos and just execute. And that's yeah. all, it's just execution. This game is like, it's intuitive raiding. Like, these monsters are, I mean, yeah, you could go online and like learn its tells, but like, you don't have to. You learn by doing, and right. you get better at it. That's the leveling up in the game.
It's super fun.
Oh, it's great.
I've been playing Celeste.
I haven't played this yet. I really need to. Oh
gosh, I beat it, and I beat the kind of bonus eighth level, which was super fun. This game is just so slick, so pretty, so much fun, and so challenging at times. Like, at each level, you can, like, unlock a B-side of it, which is, like, the hard mode version of that level. And, like, I did, like, one of these I did was, like, one of the hardest things I ever did in a game. It was, like, so... But it's neat because it's like Super Meat Boy in that, like... It's like these little sections, and if you die, you just start right back again, but they're still connected into a larger level. Mm-hmm. But it's cool because you have all these little segments. So if something's hard, like, you can kind of power your way through it, and you get a little better each time. And it's just so super satisfying when you finally get through it. Like, super, like the rare time when, like, you go through and you might maybe get something that's really hard, like, on, like, the first try. Like, oh, man, mm-hmm. just the movement in that game is just fantastic. It's such a good.
So I'm at a crossroads now. Because, like, do I get that or Owlboy
get came Celeste out this week? First. Celeste is one of the best in games.
Oh, okay, then.
So Celeste is incredible.
I suppose I'll have to take you at your word.
Celeste is super, super fun. It's probably like top five material coming at the end of the show. Wow. It's great.
Oh, okay, then.
I love it. Besides that, I've just been playing a lot of World of Warcraft
stuff. Yeah, I got my allied races unlocked for the Horde. That's super fun.
Yeah, now I'm working on the races for the Alliance. I made a Dwarf Hunter to boost. So I got the free level boost to 120.
Yeah.
But if you boost them when they're level 60, their professions like get like boosted set to as the well. Max. Yeah. So now I'm just leveling them to 60. I'm like, yeah. And it's fun. I never played Hunter that much since like vanilla. So it's a completely different class basically. So that's super neat. But yeah, a lot of time being sunk into WoW.
Who knew?
Right, yeah.
Mike, but the Destiny 2 Valentine's Day event is going on right now.
That's okay.
Mike, shaders.
I don't think they can do much of Destiny 2 until that fall expansion. Isn't that something? That next expansion, you already know it's pretty much a wash. I mean, yeah. What can they possibly do?
Yeah.
It's just going to be Christopher Osiris 2.
what a weird thing.
I put a lot of time into that game, too, in the beginning. It's weird that I have my character is, quote-unquote, max
level.
Like, max idol, yeah. Ugh.
Tell you what, I mean, it's... Monster Hunter World could have come out a better time, I feel like.
Right, well, because its loop is so satisfying and more involved and more complex.
And then the world longer. Itself is just so dense.
Yeah.
Playing that game made me realize how empty Destiny 2 actually is.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing going on.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, like, completely useless content. Right? Like, there's not much in Monster Hunter that feels useless.
Yeah, everything gives you something you can use.
Yeah.
Such a good game.
So, all right, I guess that does it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can find us on the Apple Podcasts page and the Google Play stores. What
you
else?
You can stream us with your HomePod.
Your HomeStraw, your Stitchers, and, you know, all those things. And, yeah, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.